All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
This is Geek Stuff, episode number 35. The Battle of Episode 35.
All right.
Ken Burns film.
Very good.
Is that good?
It's perfect.
That's why I'm doing the whole... I'm going to use my southern drawl for the entire episode.
You already fell out of character.
As I will... as I will represent the South in the... Battle of Episode 35.
So the losers is what you're saying.
That's what happened last time.
Oh.
This time could be different.
Will there be Schmore Schnapps involved?
That was a great episode of South Park.
It was a great episode of South Park.
That's one of the funniest episodes
Why
ever.
I referenced it.
Dear Mrs. McCormick, although your son has been the only casualty of this war...
It was a great episode.
So what do we got going on tonight?
Well, I'm sure I do not know.
You're leaving it up to me?
Sure.
Sure.
Are we going to explain why it's the Battle of Episode 35?
You go ahead. This
no,
is your
why
shtick.
I have to do everything?
Because this is your thing.
I think that you should do it.
I have an idea.
I have an idea. Let's let the slave do it.
Wow.
Kunta, why are we calling this the Battle of Episode 35?
Is it because you finally went out and bought a video game?
I did indeed buy a video game.
Wow. And what game would that be?
That game would be Civil War, A Nation Divided for the Xbox 360.
Well. And who do you play in that, Master Chief?
Well, I think we should save that for the segment on the game, don't you, Mr. Slavetastic?
Well, you certainly could play a master, perhaps. I don't know if Master Chief is appropriate, but...
Shall we move on with the episode, gentlemen?
Sure, we'll get right into our news bit for this week.
All right.
Eddie Murphy is currently in talks to potentially do a fourth Beverly Hills Cop film.
Well, I don't know why on earth you would want another Beverly Hills Cop film after that awful Beverly Hills Cop 3.
You mean Eddie Murphy in an amusement park?
Yeah, that was terrible.
Very, very terrible. So let's hope that doesn't happen. Let's hope it doesn't get done.
I'm not doing the Southern draw for the entire episode.
Thank God.
I'll do it during the Civil War segment. I may do it during the closing.
All right. Thank the Lord. Was that the one where they went to Universal?
Says some
part. It's really Universal. That
it might
at,
be
though.
Really
yeah,
Universal.
Yeah, but they called it something
They
else.
Called it something else. Right, because I think they're on the earthquake ride at a certain point, but they interject these like a Terminator-style robots in it with laser guns.
Yeah.
But it's just Earthquake.
Yeah, and what you call it? No, actually, those were the Cylons from Battlestar Galactica.
That's what they were in there?
I think so, yeah.
No. The Cylons, I thought, had like dome helmets. These looked, I think these were...
Maybe they were the Cylons, but they put different heads on them so they wouldn't be Cylons.
I think these were like endoskeletons.
It could be. There's a Terminator ride at...
That's like 100 years ago.
Yeah, it was before that.
Now, didn't that one guy, isn't he dead or retired from acting? The guy that played Taggart?
I don't know if he's alive or dead, but it doesn't really matter. The movie should be dead. You could add it to a long list of bad action films that are coming out in the next couple of years.
Action? Eddie Murphy's like 60 now, isn't he?
Well, yeah. Well, Jackie Chan's like 53, but it's not stopping him from doing Rush Hour 3.
Okay. Let's... Are we really comparing Jackie Chan and Eddie Murphy?
No, I'm just saying that it's just another potentially useless action film that's on the list of films to be coming out in the near unfortunate future.
Eddie Murphy actually is going to be in a terrific film that's coming out very soon.
And that would be?
Dreamgirls.
Yes, yes. That's actually getting a lot of internet hype.
What they call the heat.
It's true. Looks very, very funny.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him in that, even though it's a musical.
And that's okay.
Not one that I particularly enjoy.
Sure. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but I've heard recently that Adam Hughes is going to be taking over the costume design or the costume work for the upcoming Watchmen film.
Okay, good. So let's address this. Now, last week, you mentioned that Zack Snyder is going to be directing the film.
Correct.
And our information said that the film had been greenlit and so on and so forth.
Correct.
And then this was obviously the next natural step would be to start hiring these designer dudes like Adam Hughes. Okay, but the information I get this week from my ubiquitous clandestine informants in the film industry is that the film is not greenlit.
Okay.
And that they do not have a script that they are happy enough with yet to greenlight. And that Adam Hughes coming on board as a designer is part of the overall package to pitch it once the script is done.
Okay. Now, see, that really almost completely contradicts everything that we heard, even what Zack Snyder had said himself.
I know.
Is that he had a script that worked and what was so important about making the script work.
Right.
So I'm completely confused.
I am too. But I have to tell you, the source is really, really good.
Oh, I don't doubt it. I'm just confused.
I'm confused as well. I hope one of them is wrong. I'm hoping it's the source, because the closer we get to actually putting a Watchmen movie before the cameras, and anything, casting even, would be enough to get me through the year it would take to make this movie.
Right.
Just knowing who's going to play, you know, Rorschach or Ozymandias or anybody, I would take any bit of information. It's kind of like when we heard V for Vendetta was being made, or you heard something that you were really looking forward to was being done. Like when we first heard that they were going to finally do prequels to Star Wars.
Right, right.
And they were like, okay, and it's going to be Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan. And you were like, yes!
We were excited then.
Yes!
And then what did you say when everybody said, it's going to be Leonardo DiCaprio as Anakin?
Huh?
Everyone said that's crap because he's too short. So that rumor never had any weight with my friends. Perhaps in your third grade class, fantastic, that may have held some weight. But in the adult community, we knew that that was just a rumor.
But now that you think about it,
why don't you get back in that cotton field and start picking me something? Know what I'm saying?
No.
So anyway, in a little bit of comic news, Chucky from Child's Play fame is going to now be coming to the comic book world.
Ooh, that's what we need.
Yeah. I mean,
you got Chucky?
But he's following in the footsteps of everybody else. Jason, Freddy, Leatherface.
Why won't these guys
just
die?
It's all these, we want more material. It's kind of like we were talking about Serenity last week. Our interest or the interest in the character or in the story warrants some sort of exploration. And a comic book seems to be the way to go these days.
I don't know. I wonder how the Child's Play movie fan base will translate over to a comic book fan base. It doesn't seem to me that there's a common ground there for the most part. I mean, surely there's some, I would think, but overall, it just doesn't seem like a common ground. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, how well it does.
And also in comic book news, based on the very successful Todd McFarlane's Dragons figure line, they are developing some sort of comic book for a 2007 release. And this will be in presented in the new Image Slimline format for $1.99.
Well, that's nice.
Now, I don't know what that means exactly. Are they going to pull some ads out? Are they going to pull some content, a little of both?
Maybe. I don't
try
know.
Try to slim it down and make it more affordable.
$1.99 is a nice price tag for a comic book, though.
It is.
I haven't seen that price in
quite a few years.
Quite some time.
So that'll be interesting to see. This is a kind of exception to the rule here, where you go usually from book to toy.
Right.
You're going from toy to book here, which I think Todd McFarlane's Dragons was a throwaway idea, and it is huge.
Well, you can't take away the awesomeness of the sculpts on the figures. I mean, that, you know, Todd McFarlane's studios has really made a niche for itself as a monster based studio. I mean, their sculptors
do really great
monster type work, and the dragons just fit into there very nicely.
And they're coming up on wave 5.
Yes.
I think the other great part about them is the fact that they are in such a scale as to be able to be used with miniatures and things of that nature.
Oh, sure.
So I think that lends itself to another whole area of consumer.
Sure.
That I think helps. And now, of course, they're going to try and tie it all together with some sort of comic book storyline. Could be interesting.
They have like little flavor text storylines that go on in each packaging. They've got the different clans. You know, it's like fire,
water,
air,
airbender,
eternal. Yeah,
waterbender,
fire clan, air nomad.
I think
nomad.
We're confusing a few things.
but I mean, so they have a very loose kind of story that exists there already. So it's really, I guess, a matter of finding someone creative enough to tie it all together and put it in book format.
Slavetastic, you have something?
Nobody ever likes the Oriental Dragon, though. You ever notice that? That's always on the peg.
He's all stringy.
Some people don't almost consider them dragons. It's kind of weird. There are some people that consider that style of dragon the only kind of dragon. And then there are some people that consider that kind of dragon like the poor knockoff, like redheaded stepchild brother of the dragon.
Yeah. Glorified snake with arms.
Yeah, you've got your like D&D fantasy-based crowd that really appreciate that kind of dragon, and then you have your anime crowd that kind of appreciate the
It looks like
one.
The Chinese New Year dragon.
Yeah. And since we're talking about dragons, it would be remiss of us not to mention the fact that the Dungeons & Dragons Complete Animated Series DVD set came out this past week.
Yes, very exciting.
This is huge. I mean, this is a set that has been floating around like the convention scene in a bootleg format
for years. 80s.
Yeah, I mean, forever.
Since
people
the
are
80s.
Clamoring for this. And it comes with some pretty neat features. I'd like to start right off with the packaging, and then we'll get to that in just one second.
Okay,
let me start with the packaging.
Because I want this one.
I know you're dying to talk about that.
Because this could be the worst thing ever.
Yeah, well, not everything in it could be great. Okay, so the packaging of it, it comes in a nice little red box, and the box is very reminiscent of that... like that first edition Dungeons & Dragons set that you got that came with
the basic
map.
Rules.
Yeah, that came with the rules and your first set of die, your grid pay, all that stuff came in that nice little box.
Mm-hmm,
it's got
mm-hmm.
like the kind of crazy design and the logo. That's exactly what it looks like. Great, great way to package this product. But before you get into the box, there's a little something extra that comes with it.
I think this would be a Best Buy exclusive.
Okay.
I buy my discs at Best Buy. And it seemed to me packaged in the top of the box was the Best Buy exclusive. This is an exclusive. You can only get this at Best Buy. The 5-disc collector's edition with exclusive figurine.
Ooh.
And I have the figurine here, and this is the worst exclusive I've ever seen in my life.
That looks
ever.
Like a heavy figure.
Yeah, it looks like it should weigh 3 pounds. And it's a dragon, and it's silver on a nice black base. And right now you're thinking, pewter figure. Not a pewter figure.
Not so much.
Plastic.
Ew.
Entirely plastic. Painted to look like a pewter figure.
That's really sad and upsetting.
Like, what did this cost? A nickel? Like, they couldn't have put a pewter one in? What would that cost? 8 cents? Like, This is amazingly bad. An awful plastic miniature painted to look like a pewter miniature.
You know what? To be completely honest with you, the sad part about it is, if they were going to put it in there as plastic, they should have painted it for you. Because by putting it, by packaging it the way it looks, right? My first thought, as the geek that I am, was, I've got to take that out and paint it. Or have someone paint it for me. It's a great little mini. And then to find that it's plastic, you can't paint that. No paint would actually stay. It would just peel right off.
It's not even that you would want to paint it. The point is that they obviously cast the thing in black.
Right.
And then painted it silver.
Yeah.
To make it look like a pewter figure, which are very popular. These pewter fantasy figures are very popular just in pewter.
Right.
And then there are other people who take, you know, paint like them. The lead ones and paint them. And so it's just a cheap, lousy piece of crap. You wouldn't pay a dime for it in one of them ShopRite novelty machines thing that is exclusive to Best Buy.
I got a question.
Sure.
Are you sure that this isn't a silver dragon?
No, because if it was a silver dragon...
It wouldn't. No, because it would have more paint on it if it was a silver
dragon. If it was a silver dragon,
yeah,
right? Silver dragons, while they are primarily silver, have some other coloring to them. I believe their eyes are colored and whatnot like that.
Well, you should check the eyes on that thing then.
Yeah.
They're red.
Yeah, fantastic as a point.
They're red.
Are they
and
really
the ears
red?
Are white.
Is it supposed to be a silver dragon?
It may be.
But you know what? It doesn't matter because
it's
still, when you look at the DVD, it looks like it's made out of metal in there.
It really does. Whatever it is, if it's supposed to be a silver dragon, it's still a sad
maybe
attempt.
It's a platinum dragon.
But you know what? Or a whatever.
Oh, wait. Isn't platinum like, isn't the platinum dragon, there's only one? And isn't he like the opposite of Tiamat? Isn't he like the alignment opposite of Tiamat, the platinum dragon?
Now you've,
somebody fetch my D&D books.
Now you've
Slavetastic,
stumped me. It's possible.
Fetch my books.
But look, well, let's get away from what potentially may be cool or suck.
Can we just summarize?
Sure.
Piece of shit exclusive.
Yeah.
Either way.
Okay. Either way, it still sucks. Okay, but let's get to what's even better about this set.
I think the best thing in the set.
This is awesome. It comes with what looks like a shrunk down version of the new AD&D third edition player's handbook.
Right.
Okay. Inside said player's handbook is a mini campaign. And the characters in the mini campaign, all the characters from the show. You've got the Dungeon Master. You've got Eric. You've got
Hank.
Yeah. I mean, they're all there. And then you've got a couple of maps that they lay out for you.
Uni.
A couple of bad guys that they lay out for you. They have encounter rules. And it's they're all their stats. It's a mini campaign. It's actually called, what's it called? Shadow of the something, right? It's right on the front page when you open it up.
Oh, let's see. Beneath the Blade of Sword Mountain.
There you go. Beneath the Blade of Sword Mountain.
A Dungeons & Dragons adventure based on the Dragon's Graveyard episode of the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon. Is that the one where they corner
V'ger?
Avenger? It's Avenger?
It's V'ger.
Oh, V'ger is Star Trek, the motion picture. Wow, I stink. V'ger, they actually lure him to that graveyard so Tiamat could kick his ass or something?
What's the name of the episode?
Dragon's Graveyard. Oh, snap. That looks just like that episode where they... That's what that...
Yeah, those maps look good.
The Dragon's Graveyard. The children are close to a portal home when V'ger destroys it.
That's it.
The frustration is too much for Dungeon Master's pupils, and so they decide to confront V'ger to defeat him once and for all.
I remember. That's my favorite episode, man.
I know
That's my favorite. And look, they have the stats for V'ger in the book, dude.
Yep.
All right. Let me tell you why this is cool for a lot of reasons. Because, one... There ain't a kid who played Dungeons & Dragons in the 1980s who wasn't watching this cartoon,
Number one.
Number two, there wasn't a kid who was watching this cartoon and playing Dungeons & Dragons in the 80s who didn't make up these fucking stats in a little notebook somewhere. In fact, if Slavetastic were to go into the Big Kev product archive right now and fetch my D&D books, undoubtedly there is a notebook... In there, a loose leaf notebook with a picture of V'ger drawn by me with the V'ger stats making him nearly impossible to destroy.
Great, great set.
I mean, that is just fantastic. That should have been the exclusive extra right there.
No, don't make it exclusive. Allow everybody to have that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You get an exclusive extra like that, you're liable to make some sales.
Perhaps.
But that contains all the episodes. It contains a lot of extras. What are some of the extras on there?
Entering the Realm of Dungeons & Dragons, featuring interviews with the show's production team, writers, and animators.
It's nice.
A little behind the scenes thing.
Yep.
Two full episode commentary tracks with Bob Richardson, Hank Sorian, Mark Evantier, Michael Reeves, Ted Field, Judy Price.
Wait. Do they have the lost episode? The one that they never aired?
Okay, the lost episode. This is actually it's like a geeky rumor. It only exists
like a geek
in
myth.
Wives' tales.
Right.
They never actually made the episode.
Oh, okay.
There is a script online that you can read of the episode where they finally, you know, defeat Venger and all of this stuff, you know, and it turns out that, you know, Venger is the Dungeon Master's son and all this
crazy
stuff.
No,
I know, but there is an episode after that they never actually made, and the script is available online, and they explore all of that stuff.
And is this the one where they supposedly go home?
I believe
ends
so.
The series?
It's supposed to end the series, yes.
And what is significant, Slavetastic, look on the back of that box and see if it says anything about the lost episode. Do they show it on there?
Yeah, it says radio-style show presentation of the unaired final episode, Requiem.
Yep, Requiem.
Ah.
That's the episode.
It also says, featuring popular animation voice talent, including original cast member Katie Lee.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay, so my question is, or my fear is, Venger's supposed to be in that episode, and they mention Katie Lee, but why do they not mention Peter Cullen, the voice of Venger, also the voice of Optimus Prime?
Because maybe, perhaps, he didn't do it.
That'd be a shame.
Well, a shame it might be, but at least it's on there. That's a cool extra.
That is a nice little feature. I mean, I've read the script before, but...
Right. I never read it.
You could find it online.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to have to because I bought this, so I'm going to listen to it radio style.
There you go. Well, we're going to have to move away. As much as I'd love to stay on that for another hour, we're going to have to eventually move away from it.
Okay.
So let's go into what else we have. A little bit more information on the Preacher series that HBO is going to be doing. It looks like the plan is to turn each individual issue of the comic book into a single episode.
Really?
So it's going to be complete as far as the storyline. So they're not going to be meshing stuff together. They're not going to be doing big cuts and changing stuff too much. I mean, they're really going to take the time to do this right, which I think is important for something like Preacher. So,
fantastic. How many issues of Preacher were there?
Please input command codes. Command codes verified. Access denied.
There's well over 70 issues. It ran for 6 years, or the book was around for about 6 years. So it's over 70 issues.
Okay.
So, you know, I guess if you do 22 episode seasons, like maybe you're talking about seasons? 3.5 years, 4 years, something like that.
Okay.
Be interesting to see.
Well, the way HBO runs things.
Well.
7 years.
Yeah.
Say away. So we'll probably get
70
three.
Years. Yeah, exactly. I also came upon some news about a new live action version of The Year Without a Santa Claus that isn't being made, that's already made, and that's going to air.
Okay.
By the time you hear this episode, it probably will have aired already.
When does it air?
December 11th, which is a Monday, which is a couple of days from now.
Theoretically, you could be hearing this episode while it's playing on TV somewhere.
Potentially. So December 11th, 9 p.m. There are some good things and there are some bad things about this. First of all, Year Without a Santa Claus happens to be one of my favorite childhood holiday movies. You know, it's got that that Rankin Bass kind of clay stop motion
puppetoon
thing going for it. So I'm afraid that they're gonna mess with it. But I do like some of the casting choices.
Okay.
So maybe something good will come from that. You have John Goodman as Santa Claus. I love John Goodman. I think he doesn't get enough work. I think he could potentially play that role very well. Because if you remember, Santa's kind of disgruntled in Year Without a Santa Claus, and he decides to take a vacation, decides to leave, and that's what causes the hubbub, right? You've got Harvey Fierstein and Michael McKean playing the roles of the Heat Miser and Snow Miser, respectively.
Interesting. Did you know that they both played the mother in the musical Hairspray?
I did know that. I actually got to see Harvey Fierstein on Broadway in that role.
Did you?
As Edna.
Oh, I didn't know you saw that. Yeah. Oh, it's Edna. That's right. Edna, yeah. And John Travolta's playing her in the movie.
Yeah, and that looks pretty awful.
But, that's it?
Yeah, I saw some stuff from it.
Really? It looks kind of funny in the makeup.
But Harvey Fierstein, I think, as Heat Miser is great. Michael McKean, I really like too. So as Snow Miser, could be very funny.
Right.
You have Delta Burke, which I guess she had nothing better going on, obviously, as Mrs. Claus, who really cares. But then you have Eddie Griffin as Jingle and Ethan Suplee as Jangle.
Okay, so I'm liking half of that team. Eddie Griffin.
Yeah, I know.
You almost hate to say it, but
the undercover brother is playing an elf in this one. Well,
it's very politically correct.
Right. And
I'm afraid to say.
And I don't know. I think it's going to be, I think it'll probably be pretty good. Although, again, I'm hesitant, but we'll have to see. I know I'll probably watch it or record it at the very least to watch. The other thing I wanted to mention about this is if you listen to last week's episode, episode 34, we talked about the Bleeding Edge Goths, their new wave of figures that are out right now, Series 5.
Yes.
They were actually approached when this movie was being made to have some of their figures displayed in the background of one of the sets. I don't know why. I don't know if someone that's making the movie or one of the producers was enamored with the line or not, but it's pretty neat. So you should be able to see the full 7-inch and 12-inch display as well as some of the other Bleeding Edge stuff in the background of a couple of the shots. So,
interesting.
That'll be fun for fans of that. And I only have one other thing, but I don't know if I want to get to it, if you have something else.
No, go ahead.
Done?
I got nothing.
Okay. Cue up the stinger, fantastic.
Oh, here it comes. Transformer
movie!
Matt's losing his mind.
All right. Okay, so we've had a couple more image leaks this week. Or I guess one of them is really a leak and one of them is kind of some information about a previous leak. The first leak would be images of Ratchet have finally started to appear online. Ratchet in the original Transformers miniseries, or series I should say, was kind of the medic of the group. He was originally an ambulance and, you know, he was the one that was credited with bringing the Dinobots back, stuff like that.
Right.
He is actually going to be like a Hummer type design in this vehicle, but he's going to be an emergency vehicle, so he's still going to maintain that same role in the film as the medic and as the, you know, the picker-upper after the shit hits the storm. So that image is online. You can actually check it out on our website right now. It'll be up there.
I haven't yet seen this picture. Have you, Slavetastic?
Yeah.
And can we actually see Ratchet in this picture? Unlike the one that he tried to pawn on on us last week.
This isn't the Scorponok picture. The Scorponok picture was actually a scene from the film where it's kind of a dusty action. Yeah. It's a footage. The Ratchet figure is really just a character design. It's similar to the same designs we've seen already of like Optimus Prime.
Oh, I see. Like a sketch. Like
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. In addition to that, we also have some news about the Megatron image that's been out there.
Yes.
A while ago, there were some leaked images of Megatron, which were probably the quickest images pulled so far surrounding this film. And, you know, he kind of looked, I don't know. Yeah, I wasn't thrilled with it.
Are these the ones that I saw?
These are the ones you saw.
He looks like, to me, from far away, he looks like Venom, when the symbiote, like, goes crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like black and then it like jumps off the body, but it'll get like all spiky.
Right.
This Megatron looks really nothing like, you know, Megatron from the comics and cartoons, whereas Optimus, you know, kind of at least it evoked Optimus.
Well, this isn't Megatron in his pistol form.
Nah.
This is He's actually going to be some sort of jet. An alien jet is what he's being classified as right now.
Yeah.
But he didn't originally appear as a jet in the cartoon. He didn't appear as a jet until much later on in the Machine Wars versions of Megatron, which I know there was a toy line and I believe might have been in the books, but I don't think it ever made it to the show. I don't think, but I could be wrong on that one. So apparently those images are no longer accurate, that there was such a large outcry from the fans that had seen it that they've actually gone back and tweaked it and changed it quite a bit. But I don't know what those are
yet. The one part that I did like, mm-hmm. and it looked like it was based on the original Megatron helmet, where it's kind of like a cowl that comes down in front of his mouth.
Right.
You know, it's a strong design on both sides, kind of mm-hmm. rigid. It kind of has that, but it's spiky.
Yeah.
You know? But that part I like. The rest of the body, though, I thought was all over the place. It looks like I could have drawn it.
Yeah, something about it just didn't seem well. So.
Wow, that bad, huh?
That bad.
Wow.
My hands are broken.
That's no good. So, I don't know. It's starting to hurt a little, to be honest with you. I'm starting to get a little less excited.
Creepy.
But I'm trying to keep up the energy. I really still want it to be a good film, so we'll see what happens.
Awesome. Actually, I did come up with one more thing.
Okay.
We got a little peek, if you will, at the upcoming Star Wars 4-inch mm-hmm. line. This is the one that's been going on since, what, 78, 79?
Well, yeah. I mean, and then it died for a while, and they revamped it in the 90s. So.
And obviously, they're moving ahead with just a bevy of characters.
They have to.
They're just starting to get into... like these nitty gritty little characters that they are in the backgrounds and stuff. And they're all getting snatched up. Don't get me wrong.
Well, we predicted this was going to happen when we had heard that Hasbro had renewed the license through like 2012
or something crazy. Yeah.
I mean, they got 6 more years of figures to produce. They got to just start scraping the barrel.
Well, this would be the Saga Collection Wave 7 now.
Okay.
Coming up on. This will, according to rumor... will be the last wave on the current card.
Okay.
Because the card is changing again. Which you don't want to say is a terrible thing, but what it is going to do is give them the opportunity to issue figures they've already issued on the new card, which they did do between the Episode 3 cards and the Saga cards.
Right.
The Saga Collection cards actually feature, in the upper left-hand corner, they feature what film... or what the source of the character is.
Right.
Rather than going ahead and doing different collections or different cards for each different film
sure.
or expanded universe or comics or whether it comes from whatever the source material is.
Sure.
They did a generic card where they could change one piece of it in order to right. identify the source of the character. That being said, they've just gone plumb loco with these characters.
Yeah.
In the current wave that's going to be hitting us really soon, there are 7 different clones.
Okay.
Or clone-type troopers.
Okay.
7 different ones.
Can't believe that there are still that many designs out there. And I thought we have hit them all.
No, and not only that, it looks like they're just going to create a few more to put out there.
And these are actually all in the film?
Apparently, yes.
Because what was that game? Battlefront? Star Wars Battlefront? Uh-huh. Where there was like 50 different clone troopers. There was, you know, the ARC trooper and the Grenadier and
right.
all that stuff. I could see where you have some of those designs from there, but I don't remember seeing half those designs in the movies.
Well, don't forget. I mean, they're taking characters that were... they're actually doing ads, though, Matt. Like, here's one right here. The Fire Speeder Pilot.
Okay.
Right? It says, if you blinked, you missed him. They show the figure, and then it says his name, Fire Speeder Pilot, and then underneath it, they give you time code.
Oh, my God.
Right? 00:22:55 through 00:22:58. This character was on screen
for 3 seconds.
3 seconds. And it says, okay, so he didn't get that much screen time in Revenge of the Sith, but it was long enough to douse the flames on Grievous's flagship and rescue the Jedi heroes. Reason enough to immortalize Coruscant's bravest in our latest Star Wars 3¾ action figure collection. 3 seconds, and he gets a figure. So they're not, I mean, again, this could be something was on film for 3 seconds.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just want to say, from a personal perspective, it's kind of great and kind of crappy.
Right.
Because as we know, if you don't know by now, my Star Wars collecting includes exactly two things. Imperial Army, which would be Stormtroopers and Clone Troopers, and Jedis.
Right.
And that's all I collect from Star Wars. So in this wave coming, we have the Elite Core Trooper, who looks like a biker scout that's covered in camo.
Okay.
Like the guy Yoda beheaded.
Right. I know who you're talking
in
about.
In Revenge of the Sith. Okay. Commander Apo, who looks like a 501st
right.
trooper, but he's apparently a character. So I really count him as a character rather than a clone type, but he is a clone. You also have a combat engineer who looks like a clone trooper with some sickly pea green highlights. That's what these are generally the same, except for their sickly color highlights.
Right.
Or sickly in this case, anyway. We also have a clone trooper sergeant, which looks to me to be a clone trooper design from Attack of the Clones.
Okay.
The single visor rather than the two right. eyes. And he's basically a white clone trooper with a kind of a lovely green highlights.
Ooh.
You have the 442 Siege Battalion, which looks like Clone Trooper circa Revenge of the Sith with some splotches of green, much like camo would be if they only did one color.
Right. So reenactors, get ready.
They have
the 501st. Now you're going to have the 442nd.
Hey, well, but that ain't all, kids. 5th Fleet Security Trooper.
Oh, God.
Which is basically a white clone circa Revenge of the Sith. And he has, just randomly, on his helmet, shoulder, chest, one arm, one leg, just two blue stripes. Just two angular blue stripes. Okay?
You know, really, what happened was, when they were making Revenge of the Sith, whoever was doing costume design was sitting in the back shop going, shit, we really need to add some variations to these guys. All right, paint roller blue. Whoosh.
Yeah.
All right, here's
paint.
One.
We got any extra paint left over? Let's
Anybody
make
got
another
that
clone.
Pea green soup.
No, it's kind of like they came up with concepts and never filtered the concepts, and we're just like, that one we did. Yeah, that's good. Put them in. And yeah. They just kept doing it.
But again, this guy, like the 440 Siege Battalion, you saw this guy for 3 seconds fighting on Kashyyyk.
Right.
Like, that guy was there. I remember that one.
Yeah.
I don't remember the fleet security guy, but I bet you they'll find a time for him. Like they did that fire.
They should start
guy.
Coming with the timestamps on
that
the card.
That would be funny. I think that's cool.
Oh, I
think
too.
A little description and what he does, and because they're kind of making him, you know, they're mocking.
They're
slightly,
mocking,
but
if they're only doing it in the ads, it kind of loses its flavor. They should actually be putting it on the card.
That would be funny.
Yeah.
The times so that you could go, because I got to be honest with you, I'd buy some of these, or at least I'd go to the store and write down some of the timestamps
yeah.
to come home and try to find him and be like, oh shit, there he is. All right.
Why keep up your Star Wars collection, Matt?
Exactly.
It's only one of the best ones I know about till you quit. So,
right.
And then rounding out your clones, what's that?
I said quitter.
He is a quitter.
I am.
That's he did okay. quit. And finally, rounding out the Saga Wave 7 clones would be the Commander Cody hologram.
Oh, well, that's kind of cool.
So that's kind of,
yeah,
at
that's
least
nice.
It's different.
A
I don't
hologram
have to,
one well, to me always seems like a cop-out. It's like they have the figure. And then they just
yeah, but you know what? Cody appears
blue.
As a full-size hologram in Sith.
No, but it's
so
easy. It's so easily
okay.
done.
I know it's easily done.
You don't. I thought you don't like variants. This is.
It's not,
not a variant.
No.
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 Well, not because they package it that way, but I mean, it's the same. Mold,
it's kind
right?
of a paint variant.
It's not. Yeah. It's kind of a paint variant, but not really, because that character actually appears that way.
Yeah.
And then
well,
they're not
it
doing it. I mean, they're doing it to do it. You know.
They're
like,
doing it because they have 6 years of licensing left.
That's right.
They can. So what about the figures themselves, though? I think they're much better now than they were before.
Oh, of course.
And I think that they're great.
Oh, they are great. No
they've
question.
Been, well, they've been progressively getting better. Although I still have not seen a really decent-looking Leia figure in that scale. She's not quite as monkey-faced as she used to be, but she's still not Leia.
Well, I'm sure they're going to get 7 or 8 more cracks at her. So
at least.
I think they'll get it right. The only other, there's Death Star Trooper. There's lots of removable helmets, which
well,
seems
that's
to be
kind of nice, though.
Yeah, Death Star
I like
Trooper,
that.
Biggs Darklighter, Rebel Honor Guard, lots of removable helmets, right, which is very cool, and they're doing a really good job with that. There's also some Dark Horse Comics 2-packs based on the success of the G.I. Joe comic 2-packs. Mm-hmm. Hasbro's now going to go ahead and do them for Star Wars as well with the color designs on the figures based on the color designs that were in the comic books.
Where are the Macquarie figures?
Ah, you jump way ahead.
Oh, I apologize. But the only
other figure of note, really, from my perspective anyway, mm-hmm, is number 2 in the Ralph Macquarie collection.
Ah, that Stormtrooper design?
Yeah, Ralph Macquarie's the guy who did initially all the... does really a lot of initial designs, at least for the first 3 flicks.
Right.
And they are going ahead and they're going to make the Ralph Macquarie concept art Boba Fett figure.
Oh, I don't know if I've ever seen the concept art for Boba Fett.
Yes. Well, it just came down to a simple character design and he's all white. He looks like a super trooper, not like the movie Super Trooper, right, but like a super stormtrooper.
Okay.
And,
Boba Fett.
Well, he's interesting.
Okay, I'll have to see.
It seems a lot of the designs remained, but there's a lot of weird things, too. It looks like one version of the helmet has a gun coming out of the mouth area, and another one has a kind of a gun coming out of the belly. And
yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah, I don't know exactly where they're going to go with this. They do have the flame shooting out of the fist, though.
That's cool.
Which I don't recall Boba Fett ever using, but Jango Fett did use it. So there's that. I mean, I guess there's a lot of concepts from Macquarie that they're going to make into figures. This would be number 2 following the Macquarie concept Stormtrooper.
Right.
Who had a lightsaber and a shield.
Right. I remember that.
They actually made him several years ago, and then they've just re-released him in the Saga Wave 6.
Okay.
Or 5, whatever the current one is. And I think it's 6. And I think that's your Star Wars report. Oh, actually, one more note on Star Wars. Walmart is really diving into the deep end Star Wars-wise. They have, count them, 5 variant figures coming out. 5 variant figures, including Aura Singh in a black costume that I've never seen before. Kiddick Keed Kak, who looks like a praying mantis. I can't identify what episode he's from. New Hope, I guess he's from Star Wars.
Yeah, he's from the Cantina, I believe.
Okay, that would explain Nebrun Leeds and Kabe.
Yes.
Who are also Cantina. They're also New Hope.
No Muftak.
No, you're getting ahead. R4-M6, who's kind of a purple astromech droid,
right. He's like the R5 droids though, right? He's not the R2 design. He's got that taller cone head.
He's taller. It seems like a cross between like R5-D4 and R2-D2.
Okay.
It's a taller rounded dome.
Okay.
And he is from Clone Wars.
Okay.
In some manner. And Yareel Proof.
I have no idea who that is.
Who is a Jedi.
Oh. Okay.
And
from the council?
He's from Phantom Menace. I think he's one of the council members.
Oh, okay.
He's the one with the Q-tip head.
With the tall pointy head?
Yeah. With the tall thin neck and the bulbous top.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Q-tip.
Yeah.
The Q-tip people that made the clones, not kind of like.
Right.
Sort of like that, but not really.
Right. Has there been any further news or any updates as to whether or not Target is going to be doing more Unleashed figures?
No, there's no word whatsoever on Unleashed.
Because I know they did well.
And they did more.
Yeah. So I hope.
I hope too.
I hope. Okay. Well, I think that's probably going to wrap up this segment.
Good.
Take a quick break and we'll be back.
I'm going to get my boys up and ready for the battle of episode 35. Matt, you have to check out our latest sponsor, the upcoming comic book Shadow Flame from Arcana Studios.
Shadow Flame is written and drawn by Joe Martino and is a story of murder, suicide, genocide, and rebirth on a cosmic scale. It is a story of redemption and a man who has nothing to lose and becomes Earth's only hope.
So ask for Shadow Flame at your local comics retailer coming this February.
For more information, you can go to arcanastudio.com. That's ArcanaStudio.com.
Shadow Flame from Arcana Studios.
Hello, this is Pee Wee Herman.
I know you are, but what am I?
And you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Why? What's the significance? I don't know!
And we're back with episode 35, the battle of episode 35.
That's right, and we are prepared to meet you on the battlefield.
We're going to get right into this crisis.
That's right, we're going to head right into this crisis. You are not going to take Mr. Slave-tastic out of bondage if we, the brothers of the South, have anything to say.
No. I mean the crisis on Infinite Earth Series 3 figures.
What?
You're getting a little ahead.
You know, I've been gearing up for this battle of episode 35, this whole Civil War thing. I've been gearing up all day.
Well.
And I've been waiting, and I came up with the whole concept. You're going to be the North, I'm going to be the South. Mr. Fantastic will be Slave-tastic because he'll be the slave.
We've got to get through young Kal-El.
Crisis on Infinite Earth Series 3. Okay, what do you got?
Well, the Series 3 figures have hit this week, at least by us they have hit. We have them here in studio. We've got Batman, Earth Prime, Superboy, the Huntress, Dr. Light, I believe, right?
Dr. Light, yes.
And what's the fifth one over there?
That would be the Weaponer of Quard.
Right. Okay.
Weaponer of Quard.
Gonna make a little army of them too.
Well, it's funny that you should say that because that's exactly what the Weaponer of Quard is. These are like the anti-Green Lantern guys.
Right.
And they have these little yellow bolts and yellow shields, and they're kind of the guys who are really effective against the Green Lantern. And it says on the back here, their hatred of the positive matter universe and all things good made them ideal soldiers to be transformed into shadow demons by the Anti-Monitor. So if you've read Crisis on Infinite Earths, and if you haven't really, you should. It's really quite an epic piece of comic book writing from years and years ago. So the Weaponer is, it's cool. Yeah, you could build an army out of them, really. I think also of note here, something you might want to check out, Matt. This is DC Direct, obviously. We love DC Direct.
We do, indeed.
Constantly doing beautiful, beautiful toys. Mm-hmm. And this line is no exception, mostly.
Okay.
I want you to take a look at your Batman.
Alrighty, I'm looking.
Now I want you to take... Now you have Batman and Earth Prime Superboy.
I do.
I want you to take that Earth Prime Superboy.
Alrighty, I'm looking at him as well.
Flip him over and look at the back.
Alright.
I want you to look at the Batman on the package versus the Batman you're holding in your hand.
Uh-huh.
Are you noticing anything?
Well, there's a couple of... well, most notably would be the head sculpt and paint job.
Right.
On the figure.
And I would have to say, I would venture to say, they made a mistake.
Now, do you think they made a mistake? Well, is it a mistake on the figure? On the figure? Or was it maybe a pre-production image that shouldn't have been released?
I don't know. But my gut says, to my knowledge, Batman looked a hell of a lot more like that picture on the back with the kind of black
right
front of the cowl, even though that really, I mean, obviously it would be blue. It's not like he has a two-tone cowl.
Right.
The way he's always been represented when he's looked like that is to show, in fact, that the cowl was blue back in those days. Anyway,
right.
It's not really that way anymore. But it's to show that the cowl was blue, yet to maintain the darkness of the character. This is that transition period mm-hmm. when he's transitioning from being blue and goofy in the 60s
right.
And late 70s, really into the 70s, and he's starting to transition back into being this dark, brooding character, or for the first time, depending on who you believe. And so they kind of started doing the front of the cowl as black when colored in such a light as to show that it would be kind of shadowy
right,
and
right.
so on. So I don't know that it was black per se. And are his shorts black?
His shorts on the figure are black, yes.
They are? Let mm-hmm. me see. Oh, I thought they were. Oh, they are black. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that seems to be consistent then. I don't know what happened there.
You know, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I love DC Direct as much as you, as much as the next guy. I think they continually put out great figures. But the sculpting work in this particular series does not seem to me to be up to par with some of the other figures they produced. They really, overall, the entire series seems a little lacking compared to what I'm used to from them.
Yeah, I really think I have to agree with you here. They're not bad.
No.
But they're really not. They're not the quality, like you said.
You know what? And this is going to sound like a knock on another company, but it's not really. It's just a difference. The Batman, at the very least, looks more like it belongs in a Mattel line.
Right.
Than it does like it belongs in a DC Direct line.
So you're knocking the Four Horsemen.
No, I'm not knocking the Four Horsemen, but the production quality and the production value of the figures between the two lines is generally pretty different.
Right.
It's why the DC Direct figures come in at a much higher price point.
Right.
And they're really geared towards more of a collector's market versus a children's market, a
right.
play market.
Right.
It really is reminiscent of something that I would see from that line as opposed to what I expect from DC Direct. I'm a little disappointed, I'm not going to lie.
Especially when, what was it, last week or 2 weeks ago, we talked about the Batman Dark Victory figure,
uh-huh.
where they have captured the entire essence of the artist.
Right.
The sculpting work, unbelievable. This seems to me a throwback to kind of that generic sculpting. I mean, this no more looks like the work of George Perez than any of the DC figures coming from Mattel.
Right.
So this is not to say that it's a bad line per se, but it's definitely not the top-notch quality that we expect from DC Direct.
Yeah, I mean, definitely you should go out and pick the line up.
If you're collecting Crisis, if you're interested in DC history, yeah, you definitely should. You definitely should. You know, each one of them has their own kind of little quirky thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Dr. Light figure here, I mean, her head is sort of humongous.
Right.
And the Huntress is kind of, I mean, her face is just kind of off slightly. The Weaponer of Quard is just kind of a weird figure to begin with.
Yeah, well.
And he's not really showing me anything. There's nothing spectacular about it.
Earth Prime Superboy, rather, looks a little emaciated. It's like Ethiopian Superboy. And his leg, his knee joints are actually a little kind of screwy. I don't know if that's a production problem, but the top half of the leg is bigger than the bottom portion of the leg. And so the joints are kind of, it looks like he has knees in the back of his legs.
Right.
As opposed to the front where they belong. It really is just kind of odd. It really is disappointing. I think that's the word I'm looking for. And
right.
again, I certainly don't take anything away from DC Direct. I love them. I want the figures for my personal collection, but not what I've come to expect from them.
Although the one good thing to say, Matt, is that they do feature the Crisis on Infinite Earths base.
Right.
Which also serves as the title
Sure.
On the card, which I think is a DC Direct initiative that it really works.
Sure.
Very well. I mean, so there is something to be said for that. I haven't heard about a Crisis 4 wave, so I don't know. I'm kind of hoping they do some more. I mean, I don't think they've really hit a lot of...
But you know what the weird part is? I don't remember being this disappointed with waves 1 and 2 of Crisis. I don't remember feeling... I don't remember finding as many little quirks, and I don't remember looking at them and saying, some just ain't right.
I think the new guys have got to start somewhere.
Maybe.
I just think that's what this is.
Well, look, that's fine.
Look,
you know,
it's far and away a better sculpt than a lot of toys out there.
Again, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's a bad figure. It's just not what I've come to expect from DC Direct.
Right.
Based on the excellence that they have produced in the past.
But we're not going to tell you what to buy and what not to buy. Like always, we're going to tell you to go out to your local comic book store. First of all, if they're not carrying DC Direct, you demand that they do it. And secondly, if they are carrying DC Direct and they have Crisis on Infinite Earth Series 3, you check them out and you let us know what you think.
Surely.
You're a collector. You're going to pick them up. Pick them up. Put them out. Whatever you're going to do with them. Drop us a line. Go over to the forum. Drop a note on the forum. Let us know what you think of these pieces. I think they're middle of the road, DC Direct wise, and I'm not disappointed, but I'm not overly excited either. They are what they are.
Hi everyone, this is Mark.
No, stop it. Do it right.
This is Mr. Fantastic.
There you go.
Producer of Geek Stuff. Check out the home site at www.bigkevsgeekstuff.com, where you can download each episode, check out image galleries, and drop us your comments each and every week. That's bigkevsgeekstuff.com. I fucking hate you guys.
Hey, this is Adam West from Batman and Family Guy and a few other things.
Who is it this time? Commissioner, Joker, Egghead, Riddler, King Tut?
And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Come on, Robin. To the Batcave. We haven't one moment to lose.
We will pick up arms and we will fight to keep the South free.
Will you?
I'm sorry. You will not take Slave Tastic from us.
Oh, I will.
You shall not have him.
I will. I'm taking him from you. I don't want him picking your cotton no more.
Episode 35, the Battle of Episode 35. Is based entirely on my purchase of this fine video game called Civil War, A Nation Divided for the Xbox 360.
Well, this is done by the History Channel, is that correct?
I believe it's presented by the History Channel.
It's developed by interns on the History Channel.
Okay.
Really?
No.
I don't believe you're accurate,
well,
Mr. Slave Tastic.
They sponsor it, I guess?
Yeah, yeah. Their name is on it, yeah. And I think in this one they have some say into what actually goes into the game. They were active participants in the
right, and it's very, very historically accurate. I need to say that they have researched the battles and the weaponry and the combat style in order to represent as fully as possible an experience fighting in the Great Civil War.
Sure. What the fuck are you looking through?
I'm just letting him go with this. This is his baby.
So if you're a fan of games like Call of Duty, I think, which Mr. Slave Tastic and I have agreed this game is most like.
I concur as well.
Well, it's a first-person shooter, and what's unique about it is so many of these first-person shooters nowadays feature things like World War II and all manner of futuristic Halo and all of this.
Vietnam was a big one.
Vietnam, yes, that's true. And this one features, for the first time, you may become a soldier of the cantankerous North or the freedom-loving South, and you may fight the great battles once again if you haven't already fought them in your mind or on the reenactment battlefield. You can take up arms for the side of your choosing to fight these battles.
You can choose sides? I thought you played by the South. I thought it was the impression that I got.
No. There are two separate campaigns.
Oh, that's cool.
North and South.
Cool.
Each one has six historic battles. The North would have Fredericksburg, Gettysburg, Chattanooga, Fort Fisher, Selma, and Petersburg.
Uh-huh.
And then for the South, you've got Bull Run, Shiloh, Antietam, Chancellorsville, Chickamauga,
yeah,
and Cold Harbor.
All the good ones. Depends if you were in it or not.
Yeah, exactly.
You were in it, probably not so good.
No, probably not so good.
So how's it play?
I think it plays excellently. It's not, however, Call of Duty, which I think is... In this type of game, I think Call of Duty 2, and from what I hear, Call of Duty 3, and I should say that I was intending on purchasing Call of Duty 3 I did happen upon this Civil War, A Nation Divided game.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided that rather than us talking about yet another World War II shooter game, that this, in fact, was unique and different enough warranting my purchase of it.
You know, I think that's what... was this Activision?
This is Activision.
I think that's what Activision is hoping too, when they're even coming out with this.
Well, I say bravo to Activision for trying to do something different. I mean, you see a lot of strategy type games involving the Civil War, but what you do not see is a lot of first person. In fact, this is the only one, to my knowledge, and hopefully the first of a few that actually puts you in the battlefield of the Civil War. It's very exciting.
It is. I like some of the gameplay. There are parts about it that I really liked, and there are parts about it that really frustrated me. Something I really liked was the load time on the guns.
Yes. The historical accuracy regarding the weaponry is amazing.
I thought you were going to say you like the load time, meaning the load time and the amount of time it takes to load the game.
Oh, no, no.
Before... a certain level.
Right.
And I was like, who the hell says they like that unless it's like a second?
Yeah, exactly.
No. All it's right. Actually what he means to say is that there are many different weapon types available to you in the game. And one of the most common weapons, of course, would be your typical battle rifle.
Sure. You got the 1861 Springfield musket with bayonet.
Right, nice. Which is basically a muzzle loader. And for those of you who don't know what a muzzle loader is, that means what you would do is, in the muzzle end of your rifle, you would put a certain amount of gunpowder.
That's the hole.
Right, the hole. You would put a certain amount of gunpowder, and you would put the charge in. In other words, the wadding, and then the ball, and then wadding, and you would pack it all down with a ramrod. And then you would cock back the hammer, put what amounts to these days like a cap gun cap, but metal and with a bit more of a spark charge in it on there, and then you would aim the rifle and fire.
Right.
Now a really good rifleman could get off 3 aim shots in a minute. 3 in a minute. When you consider that you could get today, even in World War II, with some of those weapons, you could get, 80, 100 shots off in a minute. You can get 3. And what's great about this in the game is the fact that it's exactly the same. And they show yourself loading, muzzle loading the gun, going through all the motions that I've just described. Slavetastic?
Yeah, Matt, I'm with you on this. I think that it's cool that it has a lengthy load time for the weapons. I think that they dropped the ball, however, in the fact that you fire, you press reload, or it reloads for you, and there's no active participation in loading. And I think that they had an opportunity there, especially now seeing Gears of War, where it's just a very simple sliding bar where you get it in two areas in the bar, and you get either a quicker reload, a jam, or a quicker reload plus a damage adjustment. You get a little damage boost. I think in emulating a complicated technique such as loading a muzzle loader, they could have done something cool. I don't know what, but it could have been cool.
I think here what they were going for is as much historical accuracy without getting too bogged down in the gameplay.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple in right. Gears of War, but I can think of the scenario where I'm playing somebody else online, which we can talk about that next. But say if you were playing somebody else head-to-head online, a deciding factor in how good you are could be, like in real life, how fast you can load, how well you know the rifle, you know, whether right. it be something that you learn over time, over force of habit, or a little puzzle game or something like that that pops right. up, you know, you move the sticks in certain directions, something that would set it apart from just watch the same old loading animation over and over again.
It should be said also that, Fantastic, you do need to actually press the reload button every time you need to reload your gun. So if you shoot 5 shots out of your revolver, you need to reload all 5 shots in your revolver.
Right.
And you cannot reload the revolver until you've emptied it out.
Which is that
historically accurate. And I think that is something to be said about this game, is that the historical accuracy in the type of combat and weapons, I really can't stress this enough, that it is very well done here. Very well done.
So okay. What didn't you like?
Okay, I was just going to say. So there are 2 particular things I did not like in the game. First, confinement. While I understand that they're trying to keep the game moving forward, it seemed very confined.
Yeah, like it seemed linear.
There's a portion of the game where you're actually running on this thin ridge. And the first question I asked when I was watching it played and gave it a shot was, can I run off the ridge? Do I have to be concerned with falling off? It's very thin. It looks like it would be tricky. And no, you cannot. Pretty much as long as you, even if you run right up against the edge, it stops you.
So you can jump in the game, right? There's a jump
yeah.
button.
Yeah.
So while you can jump, you can't jump off some ledges right. or at least ledges.
Correct. Yeah. So it's kind of confined in how it moves you. It's very kind of straight pathed at times, which I don't like. I kind of like the free flow feel of something like Call of Duty.
Well, Call of Duty has its limitations also, but I agree with you here. The limitations are far more like the Medal of Honor series, where the most notable one that I can remember is when you're doing the D-Day mission. If you vary off the path that you are supposed to follow, you get shelled until you're dead. And there's just no way around it. And it's the same case here. If you veer off the path too far, in some cases, if you veer off even a tiny bit, all of a sudden you're being shelled by invisible adversaries until you are dead.
That sucks.
Yeah. I mean, so it's linear in that sense, and I don't enjoy that, so I agree with you on that one.
In addition, the AI in the game is for shit.
Atrocious, in fact.
I saw some comical situations when I was watching.
Yeah, I guess you get spoiled by other games, but you know, you have an entire side fighting for you, right? They should be fighting for you, and they're firing their guns and they're attacking. But as soon as you are even the slightest bit out in the open, all fire points to you, no matter what's happening. Your team members, you know, the AI team members on your side could be hacking at someone with their sword or butting them in the head with the gun, and they're shooting at you and coming after you instead of going after the guy attacking.
The enemy
them.
Maintains aim on you,
right? No matter what they're fighting, and you see
it's
a lot
silly,
of
really.
You see a lot of your AI guys who come up behind you and start hand to hand combat with these opponents with bayonets and butt sword rifle butts and things of that nature. And the moment you make yourself known, the enemy AI will disengage and come after you, regardless of what's going on with them. And that unfortunately is a big deterrent in this game.
The one section that I watched that I thought was really funny was you're coming along a dirt road, and about maybe 50 to 100 feet in the distance is the enemy, and they're firing at you, and they're reloading behind things and reloading in the open, which is weird to begin with. And Kev was playing, and he was ducking behind like a broken wheelbarrow, something like that. And I didn't realize this until about halfway through the battle, until he ran up, but the objective, his commanding officer, was kind of just standing out in the open between the fire, between the crossfire.
Right.
And then when you walked up to him, he was like, oh, hey, how's it going? You know, this is your new mission. It was like he had completely ignored what was going on around him, even though bullets were flying by in both directions.
Right. Yeah. It really detracts from all of these other great things that are in place in the game, and it's a shame. But hopefully, like Kev had said earlier, maybe this is the first incarnation of this style of game and this style of warfare, which was a little different, is a little different than something like Call of Duty.
Right.
And we could see advances in the future.
I think what it is I think this is a rush.
What
this
it is.
This is definitely a rush job where they said, okay, you know what? Nobody has done this before. Let's get it out there before somebody else thinks of it.
See, now what I heard is that despite its price of $49.99, right, for Xbox 360,
right,
it's a budget title. It's still a budget title, which is, and it does show some signs of a title that has a shorter development time, but the reason being that they have less people on it and don't want to put as much money into it. Things like it being a mostly linear game, having a pretty dumb AI. It's right. easy for them to say, okay, here's the game, here's the experience, follow the rails, stay on rails, and play the game.
Right.
They'll present you with some objectives, and you really don't have any choice. You know, there's just less development that goes into making a game like that.
Right.
And I don't know about how open they've been saying this is a budget title, but at $10 less for a new game, it kind of is a budget title. And I think that they're going for the audience in the fact that it says History Channel, Civil War across the front.
Oh, and it was totally an impulse buy for me, too. Just seeing that alone. Seeing the title,
yeah.
Civil War, and the History Channel, right away I picked up the box. And the moment I found out it was a first-person shooter that is set in the Civil War, I instantly put down Call of Duty 3 and decided to go with this instead.
Yeah, because that appeals to you as someone who's looking for authenticity in your games, and I know that you're someone looking for that.
Exactly.
Right.
It doesn't really feature, it doesn't have any overly tremendous features other than that. There's no multiplayer online version, although it does say here that there is some content downloads available from Xbox Live and also leaderboards. And what exactly are leaderboards, Mr. Slavetastic?
They're just the rankings. They're kind of stock. They're in the Burger King games. They come with creating a game on Xbox 360 and having it be live enabled. You really don't need much. You know, there's they're built in. No big deal.
Well, it is an atypical fighting game. It may be a little different from something like a Halo 3, which I understand we have some new information about. Slavetastic.
Yeah, a couple days ago, the Halo 3 commercial aired during Monday Night Football.
Right.
And I think you guys saw it before we went on air.
Uh-huh. We did.
And it's I guess it's a CGI commercial, although it's kind of not clear enough to see humans in it, because it starts off with two kids sitting in a field talking about what's out in space,
right.
You know, wondering what could be out there, and then it segues into a helmet on the ground, and then Master Chief picking up the helmet and putting it on, and bam, he's in the middle of a battle.
Is the young boy a young Master Chief?
I think that's what the commercial implies.
That you know, there is a lot of backstory that comes in the books, and Master Chief's name is John, and he also has a number, which I can't remember right now, so...
What books?
Oh, come on, man. The Halo novels.
The Halo novels?
Yeah.
And I had no idea.
They're not bad. I think there's at the very least three, there may be four or five now, too.
Oh, my good gracious.
Yeah, so that is fleshed out, and what you see in this is he gets up, you hear some radio chatter, he's in the middle of a firefight. You see some of these giant plasma mortars kind of in the distance. It sounds like one of them is about to hit the ground. You see it incoming, and they say, "I think we lost the Master Chief," and he says in his voice, "Not yet." And then he activates this kind of grenade or something that he has in his hand, which creates, Kev,
the stasis field.
Boing, kind of this geodesic shield appears around him.
And then something explodes, and he's safe. Of course.
Right. Of course he's safe.
Because he's Master Chief.
And then he runs off a cliff, jumps into the abyss, and it looks like there's
30 or 40 something down there.
Grunts, it looks like. Right. Not grunts, the big hairy guys, and particularly the one with the hammer, who is kind of the final boss at the end of Halo 2. And then, bam, that's it. So very short. Kind of disappointing, but I'm stoked.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. It looks good. Like, story-wise, it looks really cool. But I really want to see gameplay. Like, to be completely honest with you, I get the story from playing the game itself. At this point, I want to see gameplay. I want to see what new features they're adding to the game. And I understand that it's probably, or it might not be at that point, or they might not be ready to release that. But that's what I'm really aching to see.
Yeah, you know what this does pretty well right off the bat is evokes that imagination, that question, what is out there? And I think that's really what the guys who write Halo, that's something that they always want to kind of talk about, because it's always been a little bit more deep than just killing aliens.
Yeah.
The gameplay is killing aliens, yeah. But the overall story is kind of like, what's out there? Is it evil? Is it good? You know, where does humanity play in there? And that's, they introduce that here, and hopefully that'll be a running theme into Halo 3.
Sure.
That'll play out nicely during the game.
I don't want to come off as being an idiot or a schmuck, because I know that some people will say that after listening to this episode. Yeah, I know. Yeah. But
why would they say that after this episode?
They say it after every episode.
As opposed to other episodes.
They say it after every episode. Wait, I've been labeled the dumb one, the idiot. I'm used to
what?
It by now.
Who calls? And in real life, he's the asshole.
It's kind of funny.
Wait,
but what I'm saying
hold
is...
Hold on a second.
No, stop.
What is going on?
Shut up, Sal. You lost.
You're out of character.
What I'm saying is, it's not that I don't appreciate the story, but I get the story as I'm playing the game when the game actually comes out. But what really excites me about the game is the new features to gameplay, and I was disappointed to not see any of that in the trailer.
Well, that grenade or that shield or whatever it is, when we were done, Kev said, "What the hell is that?" And that's the exact reason why they stuck it in there. So everybody who watches says, "What the hell is that?" And how is it going to play into the game?
Right. So we'll see. I'm still pretty excited.
Well,
yeah.
To get back to Civil War and Nation Divided, I think it should be said in conclusion that this isn't a bad game, but what it is a limited. It is a limited game, and it is unfortunately a game which has not reached its potential.
Sure,
a game that hopefully will be taken back in, although I rather doubt it, but hopefully someday taken back into the shop for a sequel where they will do things correctly. I mean, everything else, I mean, the graphics are fine. They're not overly realistic, they're not quite as realistic as Call of Duty, but they are well represented here. But I think overall, what it suffers from is gameplay and the linear format and the stupid AI. And things of that nature. However, if you are a Civil War enthusiast, we are definitely going to say that you should definitely go pick up this title immediately. Choose your side, and I hope you choose the correct one. And I hope you will check out Civil War, A Nation Divided for Xbox 360. Matt, in addition to all the great features already available on the home site, BigKevsGeekStuff.com, we have now created a forum so that fans of this show can listen and interact with each other.
Some of the forums include discussions about individual episodes, toys and action figures, comic books, TVs and movies, and other random bits of goodness that you may find online.
The fans of Geek Stuff can now interact with each other, talk about episodes, talk about things that we're discussing on the show, get their own opinions out there. Yeah. Now fans will be able to drop their show ideas right on the forum.
So check out the Geek Stuff forums by going to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and clicking on the forums link.
Yeah, let them fight amongst themselves. We got enough stuff to do.
Hey there, this is David Wenham from Lord of the Rings and 300, and you're very fortunate because you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Enjoy.
That's why I got people for that, because I don't need to go on there and see somebody's calling you the dumb one. What kind of moron would call you the dumb one?
I don't know.
That's just so stupid.
I take it all in stride.
Oh, my God.
Mostly.
That's why I've learned that you can't read those things. You got to have people read them and take the good stuff out and filter you from seeing the bad.
I'll try to hire somebody. I'll take someone from the Big Kev's product archive. Pablo.
Hey,
or
no, you need someone who can read.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So,
oops.
No employees of the Big Kev's Geek Stuff Product Archive are going to be able to fill that role.
Exactly. All right, so what did we talk about today, Kev?
Well, what didn't we talk about? It seemed like we talked about everything.
Unfortunately, we mentioned the fact that they are developing a Beverly Hills Cop 4 potentially, which is just a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be awesome.
No, it's going to be good. It's going to be horrendous.
You're out of your mind. Fantastic.
We also talked about whether or not Adam Hughes is actually going to be doing character design, or actually, I guess he might be.
I say that's a yes.
But whether or not the movie has been greenlit or what's happening. We're talking about the Watchmen, of course.
Right. The Watchmen movie seems to, from one source we get yes, from another source we get no. Both seem very reliable, so we don't know where to go there.
Right.
We're just hoping it happens either way.
It looks like the Preacher series that HBO is developing, they're going to take a single issue of the book to do a single episode. There was well over 70 episodes of the series, so we're thinking that potentially if the show is successful, you're looking at somewhere around 4, maybe 5 seasons.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I also talked about the Chucky or Child's Play comic book joining the ranks of great horror movies that are being turned into comic books more and more these days, like Friday the 13th
right,
and Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Nightmare on Elm Street. They're bringing Chucky to us now from Child's Play.
Awful.
And also, in kind of a reverse action, Todd McFarlane is going to be producing a comic book based on Todd McFarlane's Dragons, the very popular figure series from his toy company, which I think is heading into Wave 5 now, and these things are just flying off the shelves.
It's true.
And they're going to work out some kind of... They have some loose storyline throughout, which they're going to now refocus and expand into a comic book series.
Also, they're remaking The Year Without a Santa Claus. It's going to be a live-action version, scheduled to air December 11th on NBC, 9 p.m.
Ew.
I don't know. I think there's some good stuff about it. I mean, Harvey Fierstein and Michael McKean in the roles of Snowmiser and Heatmiser, I think, are good. John Goodman in the role of Santa Claus is great.
Uh-huh.
Eddie
good.
Griffin
oh,
as
right
Jingle.
There.
I like Eddie Griffin.
Right there, you lose me.
I like him.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. You're just saying that to be controversial.
No one
believes that you like Eddie Griffin.
Have you ever seen the Eddie Griffin HBO stand-up
special? It's very funny.
It's very funny.
Look, he's
no
very
one's saying
funny.
He's not
he's
a funny guy. Funny. What it's I'm funny. Saying is he's not Jingle.
Well, I like Ethan Suplee better, and I'm happy that he's going to be Jingle.
We also talked about Star Wars 3 3/4 line, or 4-inch line, if you really don't want to say 3 3/4, and how their obscure figures have now gone into, shall we say, Hasbro creationism.
Right.
And although I'm sure they aren't, I'm willing to bet that they're going to somehow put this down so that makes us look stupid.
Right.
And they'll say that on the forum.
Maybe.
The upcoming Saga Wave 7 will include no less than 7 different clone trooper types, which is very interesting. And all of which I think they're going to prove somehow or other have screen time or book time or comic time or something.
I'd like to see all those timestamps. I'd be interested.
And in addition to the variety of figures other than clones that are coming out in that wave, will also be the second of the Ralph McQuarrie concept art figures, and that will be Boba Fett.
Right. Very interesting looking figure.
Very interesting looking figure. I'm really excited to see where they're going to go with this, how they're going to produce it. It looks like he has 2 different heads. I'm hoping he comes with both heads. It looks like a lot of the early concept stuff stayed in. So it's great to see that they are expanding past the whole guys who were on screen for 3 seconds.
Right.
And they're even going now into some of the concept art.
Sure.
They've done this a bunch of times before. Most notably, though, is the Ralph McQuarrie Stormtrooper, which was released a while back and re-released in Saga Wave 6, I believe we decided on. And they also did some expanded universe stuff in the past and so on and so on. Star Wars, a great license, and it's continuing to be great.
Right. We had a little bit of Transformers update. We saw some character designs for Ratchet, the medic of the Autobots. And in addition, There might be some changes to Megatron coming before we actually see the film, so we'll have to wait and see what that means. From there, we went right into DC Direct's Infinite Crisis Series 3. Overall, we think that they are good figures. DC Direct really does quality figures, but they are a little disappointing as compared to some of the other DC Direct stuff that has been put out in the past.
Yeah, really, it's kind of... You kind of like them, but you're a little disappointed by it.
Right.
And it's just, it's unfortunate, really, because we hold DC Direct so high quality-wise that when they do something that's kind of a notch down, that it kind of feels like a bigger letdown than it actually is. They're great pieces. I'm very happy they're in my collection.
Sure.
I'm just slightly disappointed. You know, we forgot the D&D box set.
Excellent DVD box set that came out this past week. Some really great features inside, two of which would be the radio script version of Requiem, the unmade episode, the unmade final episode of the series. And in addition to that, there is a mini campaign that comes along with the book or with the set that has all of the characters that you know and love from the show, including the Dungeon Master.
And Venger.
And Venger. And it's a mini campaign that you can actually play.
And it has the stats for all of these characters and their weapons and tons of other little bits of information that you, if you were a kid in the 80s who watched this cartoon and played D&D, you probably, like I did, drew them out yourself and created them. We should say also that the Best Buy version comes with the as yet undetermined dragon. Fantastic's probably right on this one. It's some sort of silver dragon.
Or platinum dragon.
Either way, it's a really cheap piece of shit to be an exclusive.
Right.
And they should have done something better than this. Especially considering that last week when we talked about the Clerks 2 movies meal exclusive, that was an exclusive.
It sure was.
Wow.
Finally, we got into Civil War, A Nation Divided by the History Channel and Activision for the Xbox 360.
Absolutely a lovely, lovely, historically accurate game that unfortunately suffers from rather inferior gameplay, linear gameplay, and terrible, awful AI.
And we quickly hit upon that Halo 3 trailer that hit. It does really get us excited about the upcoming game. I really do want to see more gameplay. I look forward to what comes out next.
Available online and in HD over Xbox Live.
And when is that that preview coming? That's coming prior to the actual game release as well, right? That's in the spring, is that correct?
You can go to Halo3.com and sign up, and yeah, spring.
Awesome.
I think we should take a moment of silence here before we end the show.
So what? So we can mourn the song that you picked to close last week's show out?
Hey, look.
Soul
you know,
Glow.
What? So what? You know, you called me on the two fat ladies
well,
in
I'm
33.
I'm calling you on Soul Glow now.
Well, that was just retaliation for you calling me out on the two fat ladies when I was drugged and delirious when I did 32 and 33.
Ew.
It's not my fault. Soul Glow is a slap in your face, boy.
It sure is.
But I think what we need to do here is take a moment of silence.
Okay.
For my friend, and really if you're a comic book, comic industry, toy industry fan anywhere in this country, you mourn the loss today of Pat McCullum from Wizard Entertainment, who has been the editor-in-chief of that company for, what, some 15 years?
Something crazy like that.
Who was released from that position only a few days ago. Yet another stroke in the downward spiral, in my opinion, of these magazines.
Let's hope Pat moves on to bigger and better things, and hopefully we'll be seeing him do something for us again in the future.
And he can count on our support.
100%.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Rob, is it true? There's to be a colored regiment?
So it seems.
Then I,
Mr. Fantastic,
I am your first volunteer.
Thank you.